What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of five-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
This is the John Kincaid Show.
The only place I root for bad guys is on television soap operas. I root for the bad characters. I enjoy the bad characters. The bad characters are far more interesting to me. In real life, I've encountered enough bad characters in my life that I root for the good guys. I aspire to be a good guy, and I root for the good guys.
Here's John Kincaid.
Notice I said aspire to be a good guy. It takes work. John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. If you want to see your loan options, adjust payments, or closing costs online in real time, Rocket can. Thank you, Rocket Mortgage, for being a part of the John Kincaid Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Appreciate it very, very much. Got an email this morning from this Warby. Have you ever heard of Warby Parker, Anthony?
No, I have not.
I get an email from Warby Parker. It is a, I guess they're reading glasses. You ever wonder how you get ads that you didn't sign up for? Like ads come to you. Do you ever see that pop up into your social media timeline? Like you might have been, you looked at houses, and then all of a sudden you're inundated with ads about houses and everything. I have no idea how these sunglasses. Now it's try five pairs of glasses at home for free. So five pairs of like reading glasses, and you can choose all different frames and everything like that. Okay, what's the catch? What's the catch? Do I click on the link and figure out what the catch is?
Wait, you use reading glasses?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I wear reading glasses when I work. Like, I have reading glasses on during pretty much the whole show. During pretty much the whole show, I have to wear reading glasses because I don't have glasses otherwise. I don't wear glasses otherwise. That is one of the genetic things. Thank you very much, Tom and Betty. My mom wore glasses from when she was like young, and my dad never wore glasses except readers towards the very end. He died at 57, but he didn't wear readers till he was in his 50s. And I've worn readers since I was around 46 or something like that. It's the same type of thing. But I always wonder about that. And then the free offer. Do you ever get the free offer?
You got to be careful. A lot of scams out there now.
What's a free offer? Like, you know, come on. Like, I'm wondering, there's something up with
that. I feel
like
nothing is free.
Oh, I agree with you.
Yeah.
There's always something. There's a price to pay. There's always a price to pay. By the way, did you watch the New York Yankees the other night? Did you watch Aaron Boone in Philadelphia when the Fandemics, if you haven't seen the Fandemics, the Phillies fans showing up outside the gate of the stadium to watch games, harass the opposing team from outside the stadium, make noise, blow air horns, do things to let their presence known. Here's the Yankees. Remember when the Yankees... I remember this on 11 Alive. When we first got cable TV, Anthony. When we first got cable TV, the 11 Alive would play the... It's a very soft. Really soft. Not only are they pulling hamstrings left and right, but, I mean, did you see... seriously. Okay. Look, guys, it's great to look great at the beach. Baseball players, I know you all want to look great at the beach, and you want to look hot on the gram. But honestly, if you can't play your sport without pulling muscles and doing all this because you're so bowed up from the gym, give me a break. And Aaron Boone, and I like Aaron a lot. He's a, by the way, really, really good dude. Really good person. But give me a break. Give me a break. These fans are blowing air horns. Can you do something about the fans blowing air horns? We're the Yankees. We shouldn't have to deal with this. Why are you making us deal with this? Why are we blowing air horns? It's so awesome. Last night during the ninth inning, Anthony, the Braves-Phillies game in Philly.
Yeah.
The Fandemics are outside the gate doing the tomahawk chop. And you can hear it. And you can hear it in the stadium. They're actually loud enough to be able to hear it. It was driving poor Yankees crazy. Oh, man, poor Yankees. So terrible with that. Do you see Deion Sanders' social media comment? Deion Sanders last night. When did we as a people become so sensitive, soft, skeptical, and sad? Let's go, baby. We have so much work to do to achieve the things we desire. Come on, people. Deion, speak the truth. Speak the truth, honestly. Just keep speaking the truth. Absolutely, so sensitive. What I mean, at what point did we become as sensitive as we have become? It's unbelievable. There's he says, as Deion says, and he shares the same point of view I do. I'm much more concerned with everyday men and women doing what they have to do to make ends meet. Most people have no option of choosing to go to work or stay in the comfort and safety of their homes, their environment. Have you forgotten your parents and family members can't opt out? And Deion Sanders says, all players opting out in all sports, please believe the game will go on without you. It's a business. Don't ever forget it. There's no one that's bigger than the game itself. Only the ref, umpires, and officials are that important that you can't play the game without them. And Deion Sanders getting crushed by people. Oh, dude, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. How could he say that? It's the truth. It's not brave. It's not, they're making the brave decision to sit out the season. Be quiet. Be quiet. It's not. There's nothing brave about that. Nothing brave. When you've got money in the bank and you're not worried about paying your bills, you're not worried about any of that. Give me a break. It's brave. They made the brave decision to be able to do this. I'm like, what? What's brave about it? If I've got millions in the bank and I don't have to worry about paying my bills and everything, seriously, I'm supposed to, that's brave? That's brave to stay home? As I said before, the person who's been stocking the shelves for you as you've sheltered in place, the person who's been going to the supermarket every day to check you out, the person who's been at the meat packing plant getting the meat and the chicken, and then the fishermen who've been going out and getting the fish every day for you. And the people who've been delivering food to your house, and your mailman, and your local policeman, and the frontline workers, the nurses, the doctors, the lab techs. Can we please applaud those people? Because those are the brave people, not millionaires deciding, I have enough money. I'm going to stay home. And I love it that they're making the smart choice. Because they're doing what's best for their families. You know who has kids too? every other person who's been going to work the entire time during the pandemic. Yes, it is not the people who've been going to work. If you're sheltering in place, all the people have been going to work, keeping your family safe, keeping your electricity on, keeping your water flowing, keeping the food on the shelves. Doctors and nurses and lab techs and everybody else, they all have kids too. But you know what they can't do? They can't make a decision to just say, I'll stay home with my kids. So move on from this story. And by the way, stop being so offended by it when people call it out like Deion Sanders for what it is. Ryan Clark on ESPN said it very, very well the other day. And he admitted when he said it, I saw him say it on NFL Live, and he said when he shared this opinion with NFL players, he was getting a lot of negative feedback. If you're an NFL player and you're opting out, don't be going to restaurants. Don't be going to the supermarket. Don't dare go to a club. Don't be seen out and about. Don't go on vacation. Because if you think it's too big a risk to go to work, then don't be doing any of those other things. And Ryan Clark said it right on TV. Look, these are ex-NFL guys, just telling you. And Deion, telling you. If you think it's too risky, if you think it's a... If not, just say, it's not worth the risk. I've got money in the bank. I've got mine. I'm safe. I don't have to worry about it. But to the media members, fawning over these players and making them out to be... And again, we talked about it earlier today. I heard it on our own network. Sal Licata comes on before me here on the network during this whole pandemic. Sal Licata said that Buster Posey made the brave decision to opt out. What? I got tens of millions of dollars in the bank. There's nothing brave about me deciding not to come to work. There's nothing brave about that. The people who are going to work are the brave ones. Not the millionaires deciding not to go to work. That's not brave. That's a privilege. That is a privilege that they've earned by being good at their craft and having money in the bank. But it's a privilege they've earned, and they have the right to do it. They shouldn't be ripped for staying home. No one should rip them for making that decision. But let's call it for what it is. When you're not hungry, when you're not worried about the rent payment, when you're not worried about any of those things, it's really easy to make a decision and say, I'm opting out. Yeah, I don't have to worry about it. I'll pick it up next year. Please, brave. Give me a break, brave. And by the way, and anybody who says, well, he's got young kids. You know what? So does your Uber driver. So does the person who delivers your Amazon packages. So does that lady at the supermarket who checks you out. So do the people who work at the meatpacking plant. So do the nurses, the doctors, and everything. You know what they all have? They have young kids, too. It's the dumbest rationale I've ever heard. Well, they have young kids, so they're opting out. That's the important thing. They're doing the right thing. No! Give me a break. Everybody's got young kids. Everybody, now, there's some single people, I'm sure, who don't. But give me a break. Just seriously, give me a break. And if you're getting on Deion Sanders' backside and you're getting on Ryan Clark and you're getting on others about saying that, grow up. Grow up. For God's sakes. We're going to have Michael Cascade-Blomain coming up. Talking about the NBA bubble. Boy, the NBA bubble's been fun. Has been really, really fun. CBS Sports NBA writer will join us coming up in just a few moments. We'll have a chance to chat with him about, well, everybody wants to talk about Clippers Lakers. I would be more apt to ask MKB about, tell me about the teams that have, in the bubble, have surprised you that your opinion has changed about them going into the NBA playoffs. Who is a team that you didn't think much of, but now you've seen them in the NBA bubble, and they're going to be in the postseason, and you think now that they could be dangerous, or vice versa? A team that going into the bubble you thought was going to be pretty good, that really has sort of let you down, that you're like, man, I thought they were going to be good. I really did. You can join us at 855-212-4CBS. Sabah in North Carolina joins us. Hi, Sabah.
Hey there, sir. It's always a pleasure listening to you every Sunday morning.
What's going on this morning?
Man, I couldn't agree with you more about this. These brave souls. You know, I haven't taken one day off work. Me and my husband, not one day off.
And by the way, you have kids.
Yes.
So you know you actually went out of your house with kids, and no one's saying to you, boy, they're brave.
No, if anything, they're looking at me like I'm putting them at risk or something. What are you still working for? What do you, you know, kind of thing. It's amazing when people come into our business
your little,
and like, you're not safe enough. You know, they worried about themselves instead of how about the risk I'm taking. You
exactly. Know? No questions
asked. Then I find it interesting, the narrative, you know, they want to cancel football or they don't want to play football because the risk is too great. But again, is everybody getting an MRI after every hit to make sure they don't have a microfracture that's undetected for the next hit to cause a spinal cord injury?
Or the brain injuries?
Yeah,
I argued it with someone last hour, and I'm sure I'm not sure you heard it or not. I said to the gentleman, "What is riskier for a 20-year-old healthy athletic male to play football? What is the bigger risk, playing college football itself or COVID?"
Yeah.
And it is college football is the
risk. Absolutely. But it's something they want to do, and it's
not
convenient. Just like the teacher you were saying, I can't teach because that's to put me at risk, and she's in Vegas. And I agree with these players. If they opt out, they should not be allowed to go to any clubs, any store. They should have everything delivered to them sitting at their doorstep, and they only open the door, grab it,
right,
and then stay inside.
Because if that's what you're...
And why are we not reaming these guys? The media hardly says a word about these guys going to these strip clubs anyway. Why did they pick around the strip club?
Now, I do not go, but I'm not going to ream an adult male for going to a strip club.
Yeah, but they're reaming the owners of these leagues for being money hungry and putting their lives at risk.
Yeah, there you go.
They're doing that.
I got you.
And then the NBA bubble thing. It kills me. All these things on the back of their shirts. Well, why don't they put something on the back like, don't hit women? Or what about the name of the lady that, you know, one of their compadres beat up and strangled?
How about Free Hong Kong?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean. Oh,
guess what? I'm just glad that the WNBA, now they're trying to tell people who to vote for. They're telling Georgians who they need to vote for.
Yeah.
Which is great. Which they have no idea about the issues in our state. They have no idea about what affects us on a daily basis on our state level. But they're going to tell us, WNBA players are going to tell us who to vote for. Picking
Canada.
Yeah,
by the way, the WNBA, I haven't laid an eye on it since Sabrina got hurt.
See, there you go. Appreciate it, Sabah. Got to run. MKB. Michael Caskey-Blomain joins me coming up. CBS Sports NBA writer. And I'll ask him, from the beginning of the bubble, what teams have his opinions changed on? Next, it's the John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio.
This is the John Kincaid Show. John Kincaid, and this is his show on CBS Sports Radio. Here's John Kincaid.
So we have our listeners in Charlotte telling me they just had an earthquake. How about that? So if you're in Charlotte listening to the show right now, they're saying they had an earthquake, and there's enough people on my timeline that I follow from Charlotte that are all like, what was that? Oh my gosh. I don't want to scare them, but Atlanta, the Atlanta area up to Charlotte, we're on a bigger fault line than in California. So I'm hoping nothing happens, and hopefully everybody in Charlotte is okay. It's the John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio. Talk about an earthquake. The NBA postseason is about to begin. Finally! Michael Caskey-Blomain writes about it for CBS Sports, opines about it, and MKB brings lots of great insights. And I'm going to ask you first, has the product been better or worse than you expected, Michael?
It's definitely been better than I expected so far early on. The games have been, you know, really intense, and there has been some level of rust, but overall I think it would be pretty easy to forget that, you know, these guys are coming off a 4+ month layaway. When you watch most of these games, the intensity level has been high, the quality, especially on the offensive end, there's been putting up a lot of points, a lot of great shot making has been going on. So far, I've been really impressed with the quality of play across the board.
I've been incredibly impressed. I honestly can't get over it. And now my Sixers, I'm not going to count in there. And I know you have great insights on them. I'm not counting them among them. But when I look at these teams, who going into the bubble play before this end of the regular season, I guess, finale, who going in did you feel good about that you no longer feel good about? And who did you not feel good about in their postseason chances that maybe now you feel good about, conversely?
Unfortunately, I think to answer that first question, I would probably have to say the Sixers, just based off the fact that they lost Ben Simmons to the knee injury and he's going to have surgery. Obviously, the Sixers have not ruled him out for the season, but it would take, you know, probably a really deep playoff run, maybe, you know, conference finals, potentially NBA finals for them to, you know, get him back this season. And even then, at this point, that's still an iffy proposition. So, you know, I think it's going to be really tough for them. They could probably still pull out a series win with, you know, basing the offense and the defense more completely around Joel Embiid. But when we're talking about now squaring off against some of these teams in the East, like the Raptors or the Bucks that have a lot of depth and a lot of talent on the perimeter, you know, Simmons was so crucial for what the Sixers do on both sides of the ball with his ability to guard multiple positions and to create offense for others. You know, with him sidelined, I think it just got, you know, much more difficult for the Sixers to potentially advance in the East. So, you know, for them, it would probably be them. And on the flip side of that, I think there's a couple teams that have really impressed me so far, both of them in the East. And, you know, if you want to talk about the Pacers or the Miami Heat, you know, both of those teams I wasn't especially high on going into Orlando. And I think they both have looked, you know, a bit better than I expected. The Pacers have been 4-1. T.J. Warren obviously has been lighting it up in the bubble. They look like a formidable team that could potentially win a playoff series. And the same with Miami. They look, you know, really deep. They've been without two key contributors in Jimmy Butler and Goran Dragic, and they just have, you know, a lot of guys that are coming off the bench and contribute. So, you know, I think the Eastern Conference playoff picture, we already knew the West was going to be great and competitive, but I think the East, you know, 1-6 is really shaping up to be a, you know, a pretty good playoff battle.
Now, do you, when you're talking about, you know, seeing how the bubble play has gone down and how a postseason will it be different in a postseason, you believe, the no travel? Like, do you think, and no home court advantage and no travel, do you think that this neutralizes teams and actually lowers the gap between them?
Yeah, John, to an extent, I do. I think it really does even the playing field. You know, the guys are, there's no travel, like you said, which, you know, eliminates the home court advantage. They're all playing on the same court over and over again, so a level of familiarity is growing on terms of the court and the depth perception and the hoop and things like that. And I think the fact that, you know, they're all there in the Orlando bubble, and obviously there's distractions and other things to do to occupy their time. But, you know, to me, and I think it's been reflected in the game so far, so much of the focus and the concentration is just on the games down there. That's why they're all there. I think a lot of the teams and players have that approach. You know, like, you know, they're in Orlando, they're in this unique situation, and I think they feel like, you know, this is a good chance after a 4-plus-month break. A lot of the teams got the opportunity to get rested and get close to fully healthy. So I think in a way this is one of the most even, you know, playing fields for a postseason format you could have really in the NBA. Usually by the time the playoffs roll around, teams are banged up, they're tired. And the fact that there was such a break, I think, kind of took that away and worked to neutralize the field for sure.
The team who you believe is the biggest threat to the Lakers or Clippers in the West?
In the West, I probably have to say Houston, John. They've been a team that I've been kind of high on all year, but they've been a little bit up and down in terms of the consistency. Obviously, they'll have some games where they look unstoppable, others where they're not able to hit their shots, and they look pretty beatable. But, you know, I think they have probably the highest ceiling of any team in the West outside of the two L.A. teams. And if they, you know, when James Harden and Russell Westbrook are at the top of their game and making shots and, you know, keeping the defense on their heels, they're very difficult to beat. So I still think it will be one of the L.A. teams coming out of the West. But, you know, to me, it's the Houston Rockets are that third team to really keep an eye on.
What about the in the East, do you believe that there are two teams that could win it? Three teams that could win it? How are you shaking that down?
I think there's, I would say probably three teams at this point that I think could probably win the conference. You know, it was probably four with Philadelphia, but without Simmons, I just don't really see that happen. And I think the Bucks and the Raptors both have a shot. And I think the Celtics, if, you know, depending on matchups and how they're playing, they're a really talented team, especially on the perimeter. I think they have a chance if, you know, things go well for them. But at the end of the day, Milwaukee and Toronto to me are, you know, that's obviously the class of the East, and I wouldn't be surprised to see either one of them come out.
Now let me ask the selfish question. Will I have to watch Brett Brown next year as the Sixers coach, in your opinion?
That's a great question. It's really tough because the Simmons injury obviously throws a little bit of, you know, difficulty over that question. I'm going to say probably not, John, assuming that the team is not able to advance farther than they have in the past. I think that was what a lot of people thought heading into the season, even before the, you know, the suspension and everything like that. I think there was pretty big expectation that if the Sixers were not able to surpass what they had done the past couple seasons, they would look to, you know, move on from Brett Brown, and I think that's probably still the case, especially, you know, everything I've heard from in and around the organization. Every time a rumor pops up regarding a potential trade for Embiid and Simmons, is that the team is, you know, much more interested in making a coaching change before they would look to unload either one of those guys. You know, given the fact that Brett Brown has been the only coach that either one has had during their NBA career. So if a shakeup is going to be made this offseason after what amounts to a disappointing playoff exit, I think the, you know, Brett Brown will be certainly the first guy to go.
If I gave you $100 to put down on a team to win the NBA title, and I took the like three favorites off the board, and you had to take a flyer on somebody, who would maybe make you rich? Be able to win a championship. Now I'm taking the Lakers off the board. I'm taking the Clippers off the board. And I guess I'll take the Bucks off the board. You can't take Lakers, Clippers, or Bucks, but I've given you the $100.
I would give you one from each conference. I think I would take the Rockets out of the West because, like I said, I do think that if they get on a streak there where they can, you know, string together some wins and get in a groove and make their shots, I think they can be extremely dangerous. And in the East, I'm going to go with Toronto.
Toronto?
That's not something I would have, the Raptors. That's not something I would have said at the beginning of the season. You know, I was one of those people that, after they lost Kawhi, thought they would be a good, like a solid playoff team still, but I did not expect them to be, you know, as good as they've been. They're deep. They're extremely well coached, and they have players, you know, stepping up in Pascal Siakam, Ananobi, Kyle Lowry's having a great year, Van Vliet. They're just a, you know, a really well-rounded team. They have the experience, so... You know, earlier in the season, I didn't see it, but now I would not be surprised if Toronto ultimately came out of the East.
Michael, I'm not giving you $200. I'm not giving you $200. I'll give you $100. You know, take it on the road.
It was worth a try.
There you go. It's a pandemic, dude. We're all cutting back a little bit. Thank you so much, Michael. Enjoy your stuff very, very much. And when Brett Brown leaves, I will toast you. I will toast you.
Thanks.
Good news. Thank you,
buddy.
Thanks
for having me on, John. Appreciate it.
Sports Sunday always starts here. This is the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio.
My favorite movie of that type of genre, Anthony?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Oh, Raiders, it's great.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Raiders of the Lost Ark, yes. It's one of the greatest movies of all time, but all three of those movies are terrific. Also,
oh, they're fantastic. Yeah.
Temple of Doom, I really love the Last Crusade is great. All three of them are terrific.
They were really well done.
Yeah.
And I'm glad there wasn't another one.
Yes, there was.
There was?
Yes.
No, not the one where they went with the young Indiana.
The Don't give me that. The Crystal Skull?
Yeah, don't give me
no,
that
it was
crap.
Horrible.
That's horrible.
I saw it one time. I can't even tell you what it's about,
yeah,
what
it's
happened, because I never watched it again.
I mean, horrible.
But you know they're supposed to be making, like, they keep on saying that they're working on a fifth one.
Oh, my gosh. You know, my daughter, so we watch Raiders of the Lost Ark. She's like, man, Harrison Ford, so good looking.
Good looking guy.
Oh, she loves Harrison Ford. Just absolutely loves him. She goes, oh, man. But she loves the Star Wars movies, too. So he's a star in his own right. We look forward to having you hang out with the John Kincaid Show here on CBS Sports Radio. By the way, Anthony, I told you earlier, you got to bring it back for me like next hour. The Boston, we've been deciding just to laugh. And we saw a thing saying in 2020, get more laughs. And did you have any characters that you loved on TV? Now, so we were like, well, we loved Friends. We loved Seinfeld. But we've watched a lot of Friends and Seinfeld reruns. So we went to Amazon and we've been rewatching like 3 or 4 episodes a week of Boston Legal, which to me had one of the best theme songs ever of any TV show. But with James Spader as Alan Shore and one of the best characterizations ever, William Shatner as Denny Crane. And I did not know William Shatner from Star Trek, but we've been rewatching Boston Legal. Candace Bergen, among others, Kerry Washington making her debut there long before she did Scandal. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right, Tim in Atlanta joins us. Tim, what's going on?
Hey, John, how are you this morning?
Good, buddy. What's going on today?
Love your show and listen regularly to you and Buck.
Thank you very much for that.
I live just on the north side of Atlanta, up in an area where I'm gonna test your brain here. I live in the greater Macedonia area. You know where that is?
Macedonia area.
Have you played at Woodmont?
Okay. So you play Woodmont Golf Club.
That's where I live.
Oh, it's right? A good play. Good track, and I have not played that in a long time.
You need to get up here. Anyhow,
yeah, it's awesome.
Here, I spent 28 years in the Air Force, and I just want to tell you that getting back to one of your earlier subjects, when I came in the Air Force as a second lieutenant in 1973, the first general I worked for was African American, and I think we like to forget that the parts of the government have been, you know, well integrated for a long time. In fact, I've never had the luxury of working in an environment where all lives didn't matter. I mean, that's just what we were about. And I will tell you that when I see some of the corporations today that are running to say, gee, we put so many billion dollars into making sure we have diversity programs, that's all great. It's all great. But, you know, these guys shouldn't be doing that. And at the same time, like the NBA, which really irks me, spending billions of dollars in China. And then,
well, they want to avoid
when millions of Chinese are butchered.
Yeah, they want to avoid and appreciate your call, Tim. They want to avoid that topic. They really do. They want to avoid that topic. They don't want to get into nobody wants to see how the sausage is made. Isn't that the expression?
Yes.
The NBA doesn't want to know. Is that the expression, Anthony?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, no one wants to see how the sausage is made. Because if you see that, might be a little grossed out. I'm disappointed with, and it's going to be it's going to be the biggest disappointment of 2020, and that's hard to put into perspective, because this has been, for so many, such just an abysmal year. And yes, our own family and our own people, everybody, you know, people have had struggles this year and in a lot of different ways, but nothing has been staggering to my family. It's been inconvenient. It's been annoying. But the biggest thing, and I told my daughter last night while we were having some wings after church, I said, the biggest disappointment to me, and we were following that college football story out of the MAC, is when did we become a nation of don't even try it? And thankfully, the NHL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, Major League Soccer, and others didn't listen to the people. And I tend to call them the screaming hyenas. That just say, don't even try it. Why are we doing this? Why should we be doing this? We shouldn't even be trying any of these things till 2021. I got a buddy of mine, Ed, back in Philadelphia, who kept literally, and he's such, he's a guy who's very much a pragmatist and a realist. And but he kept saying, oh, no sports till 2021. Can't have sports till, well, we won't have any sports till 2021. I had members of the media that I've debated this with. Oh, we're not going to have sports till 2021. None of this can happen. Well, guess what? It can happen, and it did happen. Because you know what the NHL and the NBA and Major League Baseball and others did not do? They didn't listen to you. They didn't listen to the, we shouldn't even try it crowd. No, why are we even doing this? Why are we doing this? This doesn't make any sense. Why are we doing this? They didn't listen to you. And that's a beautiful thing, that they didn't listen to you. And as Seth Everett and I talked about, you know, last hour in the show, we don't know that it'll be a success at the end. We don't know that somebody might be leading the Daytona 500 for an hour and a half, and then at the last two laps, get beaten out at the end, or blow a tire, or crash and never even finish. But you know what? We tried. We tried. When did so many, though, become don't even try it people? I think that's the most disappointing part of 2020 to me. And there are so many disappointing parts. That we have members of the media, and it's great because then when they get called out on their don't even try it, this is not going to work, everything's going to fail. When they get called out on it, they all say, we are not rooting for things to fail. We are not rooting for things to fail. How could you even suggest that we're rooting for things to fail? Well, some of them are. Some of them are. And as I've suggested to you before, go check out their social media profiles and see who they follow. See who they follow. It tells you a lot about someone's philosophy of life. Otherwise, you can get a lot of insights into people just who they pollute their timeline with. So you can't. But it's not that you're rooting for it to fail necessarily. It's that you're the kind of people that embrace, don't even try it. Nah, I can't even try that. No, we can't do that. Why would we try that? That doesn't make, no. Not worth trying. Not worth trying. It's too dangerous. My buddy Sean Salisbury, you know him back in the day from ESPN, doing big things down there in Houston now, put out a tweet earlier today, and he goes, so let me get this straight. If a young man opts out of the college football season and decides to not play, we applaud it. We applaud it, and we say, man, look at that young man making a smart decision. He's a young adult. He's making a decision for himself. I'll read it to you exactly. Sean says, let me get this straight. In college football, a young man is wise and mature and old enough to decide if he wants to opt out of the 2020 season. But the players don't get any say on the matter if they want to play the 2020 season? Only the suits will decide that? It doesn't make, I mean, honestly, it doesn't make any sense. Let me just tell you this. There is a, every year, there is one thing that, I'd say every decade, the age in which we call people kids grows up by 1 year. Every 10 years, the age that we refer to people as kids goes up. We now refer to 23, 24-year-olds, 25-year-olds as kids. You know when they weren't kids? When they were the difference between us speaking German or not. When they were the difference, they weren't kids then. They were thrown into world conflicts to protect our butts. And by the way, they still are today. But somehow, kids just keeps getting older. Kids. A young man can't opt in. I think the college football presidents should speak to them and hear what they have to say. And I guarantee you, You're going to get a lot of them go, yeah, we understand. They're not too young to understand the risks involved. And if they do 10 minutes of research, they will know that 20-year-old healthy, fit Americans have not been affected at all by this virus, almost at all. But shouldn't they have a say? Shouldn't they have a voice? Or is the overwhelming voice in our country now to be drowned out by the don't even try it, people? No, let's not even try it. Too risky. Too risky. Why are we even doing this? It's too much risk. I'm telling you, if these people, and I say these people, the don't even try it crowd, if they're in charge of educating your children, or they're in charge of making your laws, or they're in charge of anything in your life, I'm telling you, I worry about it. I worry about it big time. Because what message are you getting? What message are you giving? Roll over, give up, don't try? What is that about? That has never been what we've been about. And unfortunately, it seems to be overwhelming with a lot of people in 2020. 855-212-4CBS. The earthquake hits the Carolinas. That's unbelievable. An earthquake, a 5.1 earthquake. That is the largest earthquake, Anthony, since 1916 to hit the Carolinas.
Crazy.
Isn't that wild?
Up here in the Northeast, we had the hurricane last week, lost power on Tuesday, thankfully for only 7 hours, because I know some people that still don't have it back since Tuesday.
Pete the Body's family doesn't have power back yet.
I just saw that.
Oh, my gosh.
And then I actually lost it again on Friday for about like 8 more hours as they tried to help other people get theirs back. So I lost it again on Friday for a little bit.
Oh, my gosh. You got to move south, brother. Move south, brother. A little bit easier. A little bit easier times. Slightly easier times. So many things we've gotten into on the show today and so many things to come. The NBA postseason is about to set up. The NHL is. The NFL... What are we, 4 weeks away or so? This is getting good. 1 hour left. It's the John Kincaid Show. This is CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
You don't brag about your car's resale value until years later when it proves you made the right call. And Toyota makes that choice easy. For the sixth year in a row, Toyota was named the best resale value brand by Kelley Blue Book, with Camry, Tacoma, and 4Runner all earning best in class. Because when you buy a vehicle that's built to last, you drive away with value you can count on. Shop Toyota.com to learn more. Vehicles projected resale value and best resale value awards are specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit KellyBlueBooksKBB.com. Toyota, let's go places.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.